encouraging a church that the Lord would fulfill his purposes for them. And tonight we're going to meditate on a very similar theme of a Christian expressing confidence that God would fulfill his own purposes for him. So here to lead us in the meditation on Psalm 138:8 is our brother Jose Garcia.
Let us pray. Lord, we come before you, thanking you, praising you, that you allow us to be not only in the morning service, but also in the afternoon service, and that we can worship you throughout the entire day. We ask you, Lord, that you open our hearts and our minds as we look at your word. In Jesus' name, amen. When people use things for the wrong purpose, things can go wrong very fast. As all of you know, or most of you would know, I am a safety coordinator at the company I work for. Part of my job is to give people safety glasses to wear as they go into the manufacturing company and as they go into the plant. Unfortunately, a lot of the workers, especially those who have prescription glasses, neglect to use their safety glasses. This gives me a lot of hard time, a lot of hard work. But what's scary about using prescription glasses instead of safety glasses is that prescription glasses can explode and literally destroy your eye if something hits them hard enough. Unlike safety glasses, if something is piercing, it won't stop the piercing of that metal. They would literally allow it and literally cave in and take your eye out. And so lots of training has to be done for people to understand how safety glasses actually work. In the same way, God has given us a purpose. God has established a purpose for us. And tonight we will see what the psalmist, David, King David, sees that purpose to be. I'm going to read Psalms 138, verse 8. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. For those of you who are taking notes, we will see this passage in three different separations. The passage is divided into three sections. Number one, we see that God is trustworthy. Number two, we see that when we acknowledge that God is trustworthy, we can only do that and support that by seeing the character of God. And number three, we acknowledge and see those two points and come to the conclusion that that changes us and our relationship with him. So first, we will see that God is trustworthy. Then we will see God's character. And lastly, we will see God's expectation of our addressment to him because of his character. The Lord will fulfill his purpose in me. We can trust God. As David so often saw throughout his life, we can trust God. See, David saw that when he was facing a giant, God was there with him. David saw that when he was being persecuted by Saul, God was there with him. And so he knew a God that he could trust. He knew a God that would fulfill the purposes for him. And God is with us in much more real evidence. I mean, God gave his Son so that God's purpose for us would be fulfilled. That is what Emmanuel means. God is with us. We see this in Matthew 1:23. Since God is with us, then we can be sure that we can raise our voices, just like the psalmist says, the Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. That means that we can trust that God has a purpose for each and every one of us. Since the beginning of time, God created all creatures, all things, with a purpose. As we look at Genesis 1, we see that God not only says, let there be something, but then he addresses the purpose for that something. Let there be light, for example, so that it can illuminate during the day, and darkness so that they could rule over the night. And he called things differently according to their purpose. In the same way, when we come to the knowledge of Christ, God makes us a new creation and gave us a new purpose in life. 2 Corinthians 5:17 through 21. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. God making his appeal through us, we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And so when God gave us and made us a new creation, he gave us a new purpose, to be reconcilers and to bring also the example of the righteousness of God. See, God has a purpose for us. But not only does he have a purpose for us, but we can be sure that his purpose will be fulfilled because he will see to it. We can trust that God's purpose is not dependent on us. He fulfills his purpose for us. Again, the psalmist says, the Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Not he might fulfill the purpose for me, or he can fulfill the purpose for me. We know he can, but that he will fulfill his purpose for me. We see that King David said, the Lord will fulfill. David is sure that God will do it. David understands that God is the one doing the work in him, to which God would do the work through him, and that would affect him and those around him. The Apostle Paul said it this way, and I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1:6, which is what we read this morning. God always fulfills what he starts. He always finishes what he starts. And as he starts the purpose of sanctification, we can be sure that he will see it to the end. Therefore, Paul can say that God has already glorified us in the present tense. Romans 8:30, and those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. And so our purpose can't be dependent on us. Our purpose cannot be dependent on us. If it was, we would have already destroyed that purpose a long time ago. God knows we will sin. It's not if bad things will happen, it's when things, bad things happen, right? It's when, it's not if. We are sinful creatures. He knows this. And so his plan of salvation could not depend on us. His plan of his purpose for us couldn't depend on us. We would ruin it. If it was us, dependent on us, we would have derailed it a long time ago. God knows we will sin, and that is why his purpose for us is in his hand, not in ours. And since our purpose is in his hand, then we can trust that our purpose is in his control. This is why we can say, like the psalmist, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust, because we are in the shadow of the Almighty. We are not to be without hope. Whenever we sin, thinking that God will not forgive, thinking that his purpose for us is ruined because we have failed him, we must repent. We must ask for forgiveness. We must change our sinful ways. But we also must trust that he will forgive and realign our lives to meet his purpose for us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But why can we trust God? Why can we trust Him? We read the psalm saying, "Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever." We can trust God because of His character. God's character is not only what He does, but who He is. Whenever we see God doing something, it is always based on His nature. God not only has mercy, He is mercy. He does not only give justice, He is justice. In the same way, God doesn't only love, He is love. John makes this point more clearly in 1 John 4:7-8. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. Therefore, we trust God because He loves, because He is love. And we know that His love is true love because He is that love. The psalmist knew this and understood the character of God. His love is what holds God responsible for the purpose He gives us. But there's more to it. God's character is not only love. It is also divine power. It is His lordship. God's lordship is also part of His nature. He is Lord. And because He is Lord, He has the power to fulfill the purpose that He has given us. He says, "O Lord," acknowledging that God is Lord over his life and the lives of people around him, and Lord over the universe. He acknowledges that God is in control because of His eternal lordship. And so it doesn't depend upon us to fulfill that purpose. He does it for us. Surely this would be good enough. But the psalmist adds one more thing: God's eternity. See, God is not only loving and love, and not only does He rule the entire universe, but He is eternal. Eternal not only in the sense that He has lived and will continue to live, and it's life itself forever and ever, but eternal in His love, eternal more specifically in His immunity. In other words, God does not change. His eternal being never changes. He is the same today and yesterday. God can fulfill our purpose because He is everywhere at all time, for all time. But what does this mean to us? God has certain expectations from us. Surely we understand that God is in control. psalmist says, do not forsake the work of your hands. And to me, this sounds like a plea from David. He's not ordering God to not forsake the work of his hands. He's pleading to God. He's asking for mercy. He's asking for grace. He's asking God to not forsake the work of his hands because he knows that God will not forsake the work of his hands. He's asking God because he knows God is faithful. He is asking God because he knows that God has all those attributes that we talked about. David ends the psalm with a prayer, a petition based on gratefulness and his understanding of who God is. David's attitude and petition is one of submission, content, and making a full circle of trust. He says, do not forsake the work of your hands. Because he can't do it by himself. We can't do it by ourselves. We cannot do the purpose that God has given us by ourselves. David acknowledges that it is God who with his own hands works to see his purpose be accomplished. And so he prays, not in demanding ways, but in humility, and almost a posture of reverence and submission. He submits to the work of God's hands. He asks for it. And we should as well. We should ask for God to not forsake the work of his hands. As he works in our lives, as he changes us from being filthy rags and makes us clean, in that process we call sanctification, we have to ask God to not forsake his work. I don't know about you, my brothers or sisters, but I really need God to continue to work in my life. When we understand the character of God, we understand how much we have failed him. We understand how much we disappoint him. And so we must submit to his will, to his purpose, to his creative understanding of who we were supposed to be meant to do, to be. We also see that David saw that God had an expectation of gratefulness. When David says, do not forsake the work of your hands, he is doing it in an act of worship. The whole psalm is a psalm of worship. He is grateful to God for all the things that he has done in his life. And so he ends this verse, this passage, in a submissive and gratifying, a grateful manner. When he says, do not forsake the work of his hands, it's because he knows that he can't do it. And so he knows that when God decides to work in his life, he has to be grateful. He has to praise God for what he does in his life. And so must we. We must praise God for what he does in our lives. Surely, when he corrects us, it is painful. But we have to be joyful. We have to be joyful in his correction. Finally, his petition is one of trust. When the psalmist says, "Do not forsake the work of your hands," he is trusting that God will work. He is trusting that God will fulfill his purpose. And this brings us to a full circle in the passage. He trusts God. And that's why he can make the petition. And that's why he acknowledges God's character. Because he is faithful. I'll end with this. Last week I went to a funeral of one of my closest friends in the ministry. So all of you know when we first met, I was going to southern Illinois somewhere to preach and to supply the pulpit for one of my closest friends from seminary. After battling cancer, stomach cancer, he passed away. And surely I appreciate the effort he made to sustain his life. I appreciate the battle he waged against cancer. But there was something that I really appreciated even more, and that was his ministry. The funeral was not sad at all. Yes, there were people crying, but it wasn't really sad. My friend Walter was a faithful servant of the Lord, and you could tell. There was praise and worship to the Lord for his service. And for the first time in my life, I actually saw a funeral of a minister and the work that ministers do. And I was so thankful to see how much God had used Walter. God fulfilled his purpose in Walter. And I can only foresee each and every one of us be in that position someday. We all will die, for sure. Unless the Lord comes. But it is wonderful to see how brothers and sisters came and praised God for Walter's ministry. And like the pastor said this morning, I can only imagine when he got up to heaven what Christ must have said. I can only imagine what Christ will say to each and one of us. For sure, God will fulfill his purpose in us. But will he find us faithful in that purpose? Will he find us willing to work and to obey? Will he find us grateful for what he has done in our lives? For an unbeliever, dying is probably the worst thing that could happen to you. In fact, not probably, it's the worst thing that can happen to you. Being face to face with God is the worst thing that can happen to an unbeliever. But to the Christian, it would be a joy. It will be a joy. And to have that hope and to have that confidence that it doesn't depend on me, it depends on Him. Him who gave His life for us. Him who will fulfill His purposes in us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we praise You, we thank You that we, even though are not worthy, even though are always failing, we can come to You knowing that You love us and is willing to change us and is willing to fulfill that purpose that You have called us to do. We praise You and we thank You. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us stand.